The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Well, it's good to see all of you. I think this is only my second time ever celebrating Mass here, so you guys better be nice to me or else I won't come back, okay? Happy feast of, or solemnity rather, of the Holy Trinity. There was an anecdote, which I believe is true, and as the Italians say, se non è vero, è ben trovato, which means if it's not true, well, more or less, it should be. So, So St. Augustine, who is one of the great theologians of the entire church's history, some people would even consider him the greatest theologian. I think St. Thomas Aquinas normally gets the nod, but being in second place is not so bad either after 2,000 years, right? St. Augustine, though, when he was grappling with the mystery of the Trinity, he was walking up and down the beach just mentally wrestling, trying to understand the Trinity, and you know, he's a beach, so he's looking around, kind of distracting himself a little bit, and he sees this little kid digging a hole with a shell in the sand, and they would run over with the shell and go get water and stick it in the hole, and then run back over to the ocean with a shell full of water and stick it back in the hole. And he's watching him do this, and finally he says, "What, kid, what are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm going to stick the ocean in this little hole." And St. Augustine is like, "Obviously you can't do that. The ocean is way too big. I mean, looks out, the hollow is real small and the ocean is out there. You're never going to be able to stick it in there." So the kid just looks at him point blank. He says, "You're going to be able to stick the Holy Trinity in your head? You're going to be able to understand that?" I never knew who the child was. What do you think? I'm sure it was his guardian angel or something. But so whenever you preach about the Holy Trinity, a grain of humility is always needed, because in the end of the day, whatever I say, it's really not going to be that important, and it's probably not going to cover the bases too well, but we're going to do our best, okay? The Holy Trinity is, ultimately, it comes down to this. Our God is love. As St. John himself says, not only in the Gospel, but in his first letter of St. John, he says, God is love. Not that God is loving. God is not, you know, more loving than anybody else. He's not the most loving person out there. God is, by his very nature and essence, he is love. Now, what does that have to do with the Trinity? Well, for there to be your love, there needs to be a relationship, right? You can't just love a vacuum. I can't just look out, you know, into a white wall and say, I love, you know? You need to have an object, a person that you love. So for God to be love, there have to be relationships. Remember, God is, there's only one God. And what that means, God the Creator, it means that once upon a time, there was nothing out there except for God. St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of my favorite saints, when he is preaching his spiritual exercises, he has a very simple way of looking at creation. Everything in creation is one of two things. It's either God or it's everything else. He calls it creatures. Creatures being created stuff, right? Now, creatures doesn't necessarily mean little furry things in your garden. It means if you are created by God, you are a creature in his mind, okay? So what that means is, once upon a time, there was only God. And you know what? God was perfectly happy, perfectly content by himself. He didn't need us in order to be happy. When God made all of the created universe, it wasn't because he's like, oh, I feel so sad and lonely, or I feel bored. It's like, no, he was absolutely, totally happy. And the reason why he was happy was he was not alone. God, in his essence, being three persons, having relationships of love, had the two, I mean, any one person of the Trinity has the two greatest possible people, persons to hang out with ever. People that you will never grow bored of. People that will never get ugly. You know, I was just, right before I got here, I was down in Yonkers. I used to be at St. Peter's in Yonkers. Beautiful parish, beautiful people. I used to do youth ministry there. And I went back and everybody had expanded. All these people that used to be skinny teenagers are no longer skinny teenagers. I was the only one that looked the same because I had already done my expansion years ago. So I'm pretty much the same as I was, you know, 6-7 years ago. Well, that never happens to God. God, the Holy Trinity, I mean, each one of the persons of the Trinity is infinitely beautiful forever. There is a Greek philosopher, and actually he is a pagan. He actually hated Catholicism, so he actually came after the time of Jesus. But I think he came up with, on his own, even not believing Christianity or caring about what we had to say, on his own, though, just through his brain, he came up with the idea that God has to simultaneously, he didn't understand how, but he had figured out that God has to simultaneously be one and three. What human being can figure that one out? I think he was inspired by the God that he hates. But anyway. And the reason for it was this. He says, okay, if God, there is in philosophy, there's an expression that says, bonum est diffusivi sibi. Got it? Okay, so that's all you need for the homily. I'm out of here. No. Bonum est diffusivi sibi means the good, that which is good, is diffusive of itself. Good, if you are good, you are generous and you give and you expand outwards. You're not selfish. You're not, you know, trying to absorb inward. That, by the way, is actually what the devil does. The devil is always trying to absorb everything to himself. God is constantly expanding outwards in goodness. So he said, okay, if God is always this self-effusive kind of love, he can't just be alone because that would be selfish, right? If you are just simply looking at, you know, if I'm just like looking at myself, if I'm sitting in a white room with not even a mirror, just contemplating how great I am, which God could perfectly well do because he is perfect, there would still be something about that that would be selfish, right? Okay. So he said to himself, so God needs to have a relationship for there to be real love. But there's also still kind of something selfish just if it's two people, because now you're just wrapped up in each other. Have you ever been in a room where there's two people that are like in love with each other, but they kind of like ignore everybody else? And it's like, okay, guys, wait, loosen up. You know what? I know you guys are enamored and everything, but we're in a party. There are other people around. And you're just like, you guys are so into each other. Get out of here. We don't have to deal with you, right? Okay, there would also be an element kind of selfishness if there was just two persons there and eternally just wrapped up with each other. He says there has to be a third person, because when there's a third person, there's community. Now you share. Now it's like, I love you and I love you equally, the same way that you as parents say to your kids, I love each of my kids equally. Sometimes you all want to kill your kids equally, but anyway, that's another. I love each of my kids equally, even though they have different personalities. Even though you have no idea what's going to come walking in the front door at any given moment, you still love your children, right? So Plotinus understood that God has to be simultaneously kind of one and three at the same time, even though it didn't seem to make a lot of sense. Now, is there something... Well, let me rewind. You and I, by the way, remember in the book of Genesis, what does it say about the creation of man and woman? We were made in the image and likeness of God. Father Paul will be so proud of you. I'm going to tell him. You guys knew the answer. He must be a good preacher. We were made in the image and likeness of God. You know what that means? We have intellect and will, like God has, so we can, unlike cucumbers or, you know, your pet poodle or whatever, they don't have an intellect and a will, properly speaking. For example, you can tell Fifi, the poodle, you need to go on a diet because you're overweight. If you stick food in front of Fifi, even if you could speak dog language, Fifi would still eat it because there's no willpower there, right? Okay, it's just the way they are. Sorry to offend you. I know that you believe your dog is, you know. But it also means that part of being made in the image and likeness of God means we are made for relationships. We are made in relationship. And the way that we fully become an image and likeness of God is when we form families. The human family is an image of the Holy Trinity. It's not a perfect image, but it's an image of the Trinity. And we are made for that. So when we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, in a certain sense, we are also celebrating the Feast of our own families. And this is going to be my final takeaway, okay? Today is a day to celebrate God who is love. It is a day to celebrate the fact that He made us for relationships of love in the family, and that the family is crucially important. The family is under tremendous attack in society right now. It has been for the last 100 years or so, but the family is under tremendous attack. Why would the devil care so much about destroying the family? Well, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, if by forming good families we are forming an image of God Himself, of course He wants to do away with it. So, the takeaway is this. If you want to live your family life well, God needs to be in the middle, which means we need to be men and women who pray together with our families every single day. You hear that, kids? Every day you need to pray with your mom, okay? Got it? I'm not saying you have to do a holy hour or go to daily mass, but at least 5 minutes a day, okay, as a family. And simultaneously, if you truly want to love God, one of the best things you can do is start working on loving one another within the family. Things as simple as, you know, cleaning your bedroom, doing dishes, all those kind of things that you all love doing. And when we do that, we will learn how to grow holy, like the Holy Trinity, like the Holy Family. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.